Chapter 25. One of Leia's captors stalked closer, brandishing a creature with a tiny body and long, outward-curving claws. Did they mean to sacrifice her here and now? Leia backstepped.
Wait, she exclaimed. I want to know more about these gods of yours.
The War Master's laugh was a horrible bass rumble.
That is wisdom speaking. There will be time.
The other alien seized her left arm. The creature he held took her wrist between one pair of claws, then grabbed her other arm, holding her as effectively as a pair of stun cuffs. The War Master said something in that other language, and one of her guards grasped her left elbow. The last she saw of the War Master, he was delicately pulling the long worm back out of his ear. Her guards took her to a storeroom, shoved her in, then spun her around. One took hold of the creature that held her hands together and plucked it off. Then he gave her another shove and shut her into darkness. She let herself stand motionless, unthinking, for one moment. She couldn't escape the sensation that she'd evaded death by micrometers. Then something moved in the shadows to her left, something huge. She shrank away.
It's only myself, a blubbering voice rumbled. Your fellow prisoner.
Rhonda? She demanded. I suppose you went to them, offering to ship prisoners, and they threw you back.
No, no! I swear by my Khajiit. I tried to reach your mining laser. I meant to sacrifice myself and kill as many of these despicable creatures as I could.
Oh, certainly, Leia said.
She'd known too many Hutts to believe this.
You meant to sacrifice yourself.
But it is true, he moaned. I deserve nothing better. My repentance is sincere, my mortification utter and complete. I...
Mortification?
Leia tried giving the door a shove. Nothing happened.
Where's Bespacan?
They took him,
Rhonda moaned.
He's dead, then.
No, no.
They took a Nogri alive? She'd thought that couldn't be done. She wiped a sheen of sweat off her forehead.
What were you doing with that villip? Answer me. Answer honestly. And maybe I'll believe you. Maybe.
He gave a low moan. Then he mumbled,
I tried to bargain. I tried to get them to promise my people a safe world. Would you not try to do the same?
Was there anything, she wondered, that might buy a world's safety?
In exchange for what?
She asked curtly. Her eyes were adjusting. Now she could see a long, bulbous, tan-colored shape pressing up against the storage closet's other corner. She couldn't tell if he'd been hurt, and she didn't much care. He licked his lips with his fat, pointed tongue.
They want Jedi, he said. They know nothing about the Force. They want to find out what makes you powerful.
So you tried to sell me to them? Is that what you're telling me?
How utterly appropriate, then, that they'd locked him up with her. He flattened himself on the floor. She'd never even imagined what a Hutt might look like in abject misery.
No, he said, not you. Jason.
Her son? This Hutt had offered her son to the enemy? Her hands flexed, her spine straightened.
She would have crossed the closet and tried to take him with her bare hands, but it had taken a chain to kill Jabba and a lightsaber to finish Beldorian. Rhonda probably didn't know about Beldorian, but it was common knowledge she'd killed Jabba.
How dare you,
she said through clenched teeth. He pulled himself even farther away.
Now you understand, he said, why I tried to sacrifice myself. Not that you believe me.
His voice fell dismally into the bass range.
Not that you ever trusted me, or you will ever believe me again. I wish I could convince you how sincere my repentance—
No, she said. I don't, and I won't, and you can't.
On the other hand, she had seen tracks that looked as if Rhonda had been dragged out of the laser storeroom.
But go ahead. Tell me another lie to pass the time. How did they catch you?
I was bending over the laser, trying to activate the repulsor sled.
Which you couldn't do, she interrupted. I coded it to my voice print.
Oh!
He made it a long, sobbing sigh.
I am glad, he said, to have been able to tell you this. If no one else ever knows, and we go to our death together, at least I—
Oh, shut up, she muttered.
She leaned back against the stone wall. Her left shoulder hit a power cable conduit, and she shifted to get comfortable. She couldn't. The War Master had told her he would destroy all the Duros cities, then drive on to Coruscant. Only one conclusion was possible. He had more forces on the way. Buru and Corduro Shipping had consistently cheated the refugees they'd been contracted to aid. Evidently, though, it wasn't the refugee population in imminent danger of being slaughtered after all, but the Duros themselves. She shut her eyes and reached out for her children. She sensed Jaina's subtle resonance at some distance. Jason's might be farther away or closer. Damped down. In the mines, she wondered, or still in her secret tunnel. She scratched her shoulder absently against the power conduit, then spun around, grasping it in one hand. It ran from the closet's floor to its ceiling. She thought back, imagining the admin building in her mind. Which rooms lay above her? Which ones below? This conduit ran through the storeroom that opened into her tunnel. She bent down and swept the floor with both hands.
Is there some way I might help?
Rhonda asked.
I want a pebble, she snapped. There are always pebbles falling out of our Duracrete. The factory never quite got the formula right.
Here, Administrator.
Something fell almost into her lap. She groped toward the noise it made, found the pebble, and seized it in one hand.
Thanks, she murmured.
She tapped out a distress signal in the old Moncal blink code. Naturally, no one answered. She stood up, flattened her palms against the closet door, and gave it another push. It still didn't budge.
I tried that too,
Rhonda offered.
But if you think my weight, added to yours, might—
No,
she said. Maybe he was sincerely repentant. For the moment. Or just suitably scared of her. She sat down again. She had only one thing left to try. But she hesitated. If she called Jaina or Jason back through the Force, they might endanger themselves.
Oh, right, her inner voice mocked. As if Luke doesn't already know I'm in trouble.
She'd sent Jason and Jaina away, though, insisting they save themselves. And she'd meant it. But if Luke already knew— She sat down and relaxed deeply.
Luke,
she cried silently to her own twin.
Luke, hear me.
She sensed no answer. Maybe he was in hiding, too. Curled up on Jade Shadow's pilot's chair, Luke felt a tendril of energy brush against him. Alert for scanners from off-ship, he ducked down into the Force and let the probe pass over. As it faded, he touched it cautiously to confirm its electronic, impersonal nature. Instead, he caught the faint sense of Leia and danger and warning. Chagrined, he reached toward her. He instantly recognized the sensation of being trapped, and this time she was in urgent peril. She wanted to make him understand even more, but the rest of it came through garbled. Battles, a war master, a threat to Coruscant. He jumped off the chair and strode aft toward his X-wing. Halfway to the hold, he halted. Save his sister? Or stay on station for the sake of his wife and child? Mara had told him to take off if he had to. He tried to get some guidance from the Force. Surprisingly, his clearest impression was that this wasn't Leia's moment at all. Her destiny was established. But within the next hour, Jason must stand firm. Or fall utterly. Drawing down deep into the Force, Luke stretched out toward Jason, and then to Leia. Was she doomed? He couldn't tell. Jason remained closed off to him, walled inside his own barricades. Luke's shoulders slumped. Jaina responded instantly, though. He even felt the assurance that Jaina was already returning to try to help her mother. Linked with her now, circumventing the irritation Jaina usually showed toward Leia, Luke sensed her love for the woman who was so much like herself. Her first friend. Her role model. Maybe Jaina could get through to Jason, too. He reached for Leia again. If she were deliberately opening herself to him, he might be able to catch some memory, some image, that he might relay to Jaina. He had to save her. And Jason. The only clear image in her mind showed her tapping against a conduit with a pebble. And a location. He sent that to Jaina. Then he caught a whistle from Shadow's comboard. He hustled back to the pilot's chair. Skywalker, he answered.
Luke, it's Hamner. I'm sorry, but it isn't good news.
No reinforcements?
None. Sounds like you'd better evacuate if you can.
Good try, Genth. Luke sensed a shipyard crew approaching in the corridor outside. He pulled back into hiding, closing his hand on his comlink. He had to get Hamner's word to Mara. Wasn't there some way to help Jason and Leia? Jason pulled himself into the smallest possible shape and waited for heavy footsteps to pass by in the stairwell. 5 minutes ago, sick of slinking and wondering, he'd re-entered the admin building. He'd found the smashed bits of a U2C1 housekeeping droid, plastic legs and shredded tubing scattered in the stairwell. Then this empty cubicle, exactly large enough to hold such a droid. Something nibbled at the back of his mind. Once again, something enormous was trying to break through, something out of the infinite. A warring urge tempted him to simply spring out of the cubicle and have done with all his struggles. Wait. The sensation came through plainly. Anguished, almost angry now, he dug his fingernails into his ankles.
Wait for what?
He screamed back. Han leaned against a stone wall. Returning toward the underground gathering place from Gateway's last hidden hauler, he'd found Leia's Goku antenna. He promptly patched in his comlink. He got no answer from Leia or Jaina, but C-3PO picked up.
No sign of him, 3PO?
In his mind, he saw the protocol droid, perched in the Falcon's offset cockpit, standing watch out on that bluff.
No more of the alien ships have appeared, Captain Solo.
Check the sensors. What's on approach?
Brief pause. Behind him, Han heard the soft shuffling of hundreds of feet. Refugees making their way past him up the tunnel toward Droma.
Nothing, Captain. For the moment, it still appears as if the enemy has deployed only this small task force.
Good enough, Goldenrod. Be ready to fire it up the second I get there.
He tried Leia once more, then flicked off the comlink and stuck it deep in a pocket. He didn't like her silence. One of the shaved-down Rin paused alongside him.
Get through?
Han recognized Romani's voice.
Yeah. Doing all right?
Han murmured. Romani's blue jumpsuit sagged on his arms. He brandished his own comlink.
Ravana says the last ones have gotten down into the tunnel.
Good enough.
Where are your children?
Probably with their mother.
I hope. Han peered ahead. Just beyond this point, they were entering the most dangerous section, where the ancient mining tunnel joined Leia's scientists' recent dig, connecting their lab with the marshes. Here, if anywhere, there could be a trap. As if on cue, he heard a soft crack overhead. Then a crackle that seemed to go on for a full minute. Gravel sprinkled his leather helmet. "Don't panic," he muttered to Romani. "Not yet, anyway." Unbelievably, no one cried out. Far behind, a section of ceiling dumped itself on refugee heads. He heard gasping noises, saw and felt a press of bodies surge toward him. But even the children stayed quiet.
"What did you do to them, Romani?" he demanded.
The Rin shrugged.
"They know if they're heard. We're all dead. They've been running so long, they're starting to get good at it."
Mentally, Han cursed the Yuuzhan Vong. He turned and moved on. At tunnel's end, daylight shone faintly. Droma had scavenged an old cargo stacking frame off the hauler and painstakingly pushed it along the cliff's base toward the tunnel. As he moved it, he and a growing number of refugees kept stacking hay over it, creating a tunnel. Han was able to move this largest group yet onto the hauler without being seen from outdoors. As they streamed past, human, Vor, Vuvrian, here and there a Gotal and a Snivian, he ducked against the hay frame with Droma. Now that it was time to say goodbye, he didn't want to do it. Neither did Droma, evidently.
"If we can break orbit, I'm going to head out the trade spine. Senex Juvex might still be taking refugees."
"You've changed," Han said bluntly. "What happened to the loudmouth I met back at Ord Mantell?"
"Guess he died," the Rin said somberly.
He pulled off his red and blue cap, knocked straw out of it, and replaced it at the usual angle.
"With about half of his clan."
"If I find any stragglers, I'll put 'em on the Falcon."
"Right,"
Droma said.
"You know," he said wistfully, "I really wanted to meet Luke Skywalker."
Han laughed shortly. "You did. On board the Queen of Empire."
"Not to talk with him."
Han shrugged. "I'll send him along someday."
He backhanded the Rin's bristly upper arm.
"Keep your scanners up."
"You know, Solo, for such a mouthy human, you've got a good heart."
The line's end passed them by. Droma fell in with the stragglers, hustling them along. They'd agreed he would wait for Han to signal when the Falcon was ready to run for open space. Han would escort him to the jump point, then head in his own direction, with Leia and the kids. He thumbed the comlink, but once again none of them answered. He was turning toward the tunnel when Droma came dashing back.
"Commune, it's dead,"
he puffed.
"Transmitter seems to be functioning. It's just the voice pickup. Let me patch in your comlink."
Han hesitated, then decided he could talk to the kids from the Falcon, and it was high time he got there. He handed Droma the link.
"We're about even on that running rescue total," he said. "I think you owe me now."
"Put it on my account," Droma said.
Leia's prison door opened wide enough for a clawed hand to reach down, leaving a pitcher of water and a bowl full of something that squirmed. Rhonda snored softly in his corner. She sniffed the water. It seemed all right. She took a cautious taste, rolling the sip over her tongue, listening hard for the infant danger sense that protected Luke and Mara so effectively. She sensed no warning, so she drank thirstily. Then she considered the bowl. No matter how hungry she got, she couldn't face that. She nudged Rhonda's midsection with her foot.
"Hey,"
she said,
"dinner."
He came awake quickly, blinking his huge black eyes.
It's something you'd like.
She shoved the ball into his small hands.
Oh,
he exclaimed.
It's been so long.
She turned away, repulsed by his appetites. A faint pinging that had gone on for several seconds finally caught her attention. It seemed to be coming from the conduit. She pressed closer. In blink code, she heard letters formed by long and short groups of pings. RME, pause. CANYOUHEARME, pause. By this time, she'd found her pebble again. She pinged back, WHOISTHIS. Jaina, the answer came. What floor are you on? Exultant, Leia stretched out through the force. There indeed was her daughter. From Jaina's mind came images of Luke hiding shipboard, docked at Buru, and of Mara speaking with the Duros military command. But nothing from Han. For secrecy's sake, Jaina had switched off her comlink. Laboriously, Leia spelled out the War Master's threefold threat as she formed explanatory images in her mind. The others must know about the incredible danger to the Duros cities, word for word, exactly as the War Master threatened. Also the impending enslavement of refugees and the promised strike on the core. Warn Mara, she concluded, sliding back into signaling mode. Use Goku transmitter. Hurry, then come back. Rhonda prisoner also. Jaina pinged back. Get you first. No, no, warn Mara first. Get Han, come back, Leia answered. Silence. The warm echo at the back of her mind faded, cooled, vanished. She counted off almost a minute. Then, okay, Jaina pinged back. Leia sank back down, dropped the pebble, and rested her elbows on her knees. Four armed Duros waited for Mara at the top of the lift.
Charming, she said. A welcoming committee. I need to speak with the Admiral.
You're under arrest,
the Duro wearing the most stripes on his collar snapped.
On what charge? Mara demanded.
Trespassing on military property to start.
Mara flexed her hands, holding them close to her blaster and lightsaber.
Tell you what, you can try to lock me up, in which case either you'll end up on the floor, or else as Yuuzhan Vong's sacrifice bait, or you can take me to see Admiral Watt first. If he still wants me locked up, I'll go peacefully. Think you could handle that?
The lead Duro's eyes blinked once.
This way,
he ordered. She followed him, ready to make a break the moment he took a wrong turn. But less than a minute later, the escorts marched her into a private dining room, where a Duros sat next to two burly humans. The Duros' charcoal-gray uniform had filigreed epaulets, white shoulder cords, and a row of stars around his collar.
Admiral, Mara said, my name is Mara Jade Skywalker. I urgently need to speak with you.
Admiral Watt cocked his long head to one side. He glanced at his human guests.
Interesting, he said. These gentle beings just predicted that you, or one of your kind, would force your way in to see me within the hour. And here you are.
Mara got a good look at the humans. The nearer one wore close-cropped hair and sat with his shoulders slumped. The other had a bizarre, distant look in one eye, probably a malfunctioning prosthetic. They openly wore the clasped-hand Peace Brigade insignia, one hand recognizably human, the other hand completely tattooed. They always left off the claws.
Good, she said.
She leaned both hands on the back of the nearest repulsor chair.
Admiral,
I don't know what you've been told about the chances of a second Yuuzhan Vong attack on this system. A final one. But we have reason to believe it's imminent.
They are coming to take possession of the planet's surface, the slump-shouldered human said. They have no interest in the Duro's cities, and there is no reason we cannot coexist peacefully with them.
Mara glared. So you sold them what? 500,000 refugees to be sacrificed? He spread his hands.
His bad-eyed friend slipped both hands under the tabletop. Mara got a grip on her lightsaber beneath her long tunic.
I know you've been told to believe they have no use for your orbital cities, and that they'll leave them alone, she told the Admiral. I assume you struggled with the decision to let them take hundreds of thousands of lives down there, once this slime got to you. But your own people are your priority, and this is war. Am I close?
The slumped one crossed his arms. I think it's time you left, Green Eyes.
Mara shook her head. We transmitted back to Coruscant, she said. We requested reinforcements. They turned us down.
Again, the Admiral's glance flitted sideways. His large eyes narrowed. Then he looked at her again.
Please make your point, Jedi Jade Skywalker.
I'm surprised you haven't already seen it, she said. Have you heard how they destroy technology? Did you see that creature out there chewing on Orome? Don't you realize they consider technology, all technology, to be an abomination? An offense against their gods? Can you really believe they would leave you your cities?
We have been given those assurances, he answered. It is, as you say. My responsibility is to my people. Sadly, I cannot help evacuate your downside settlements. We did try to warn Selkor against colonizing that surface. Duro swallows everything that touches it.
So get out of here, Bad Eye said.
I'll leave when it's time to go. Mara watched his shoulders.
If they twitched, she was ready.
First, the comlink on her belt toned, and from a distance she felt Jaina's urgent concern. The girl's timing was execrable. My apprentice is trying to rescue Ambassador Organa Solo, who has been taken prisoner down there, she explained, raising the comlink left-handed. Mara here, she said. I'm with Admiral Watt. The instant she confirmed Jaina's voice, she flicked the comlink, turning up the gain. Admiral, this is Jaina Solo. Gateway Dome still has a Goku link in the tunnels, and Mom's people hooked it to an external Rectenna array. Mom's being held in the admin building by a Yuuzhan Vong they're calling War Master. He has told her they're going to destroy the Duro cities. All of them. She said it was urgent to warn you. Mara glared at Bad Eye, whose good eye had widened considerably. He said that verbatim, Jaina? Mara asked. Or was that just an inference? This is extremely important. Mara held the comlink at arm's length, making sure everyone in the room could hear Jaina's reply. She took the time to quote him. He told her, "We will purify this world of the abominable machines in their orbits," Jaina confirmed. "And from here they mean to take the core. If Admiral Watt can't hear me, tell him one more thing. We found evidence that Corduro Shipping has been working with the Peace Brigade for a long time, probably in exchange for a warning to get one city prepped to leave orbit. Sir, if you want to protect the Duro's people, evacuate them to that habitat. Start building its momentum now, because you won't get much time. There aren't many of us who can help you in system, but we'll help the DDF fly cover for its getaway."
Static interrupted the transmission for several seconds.
Go again, Jaina. We missed that last part.
Mom says to hit Gateway Dome as soon as her people are out. This guy is high in their ranks. You've got to take him. Kill him.
Can you get back to Leia?
Mara asked. Excuse me, Admiral. I've got to get personal.
Jaina's voice sounded strained.
She ran me off, Mara. I went back for her, but...
She had to get us that message.
Mara stared at Bad Eye. His left shoulder was drawing back, just slightly.
Jason's...
Bad Eye's blaster cleared the table. Mara used her lightsaber to deflect the bolt. She tried to aim it back at him, but missed by several centimeters. He toppled anyway. She backstepped, nearly bumping her escorts, and spotted a holdout blaster in Admiral Watt's right palm. Now he held it trained on Slump's shoulder.
You, sir,
Watt said,
are under arrest. Guards, deal with him. I need to speak with Jedi Jade Skywalker.
To Mara's deep satisfaction, two Duros from her escort squad carried Bad Eye out of the dining room. The other two escorted Slump Shoulder. Mara fingered her comlink.
Jaina?
No response. Jaina must have left the Goku station. Admiral Watt clasped his knobby hands.
You were right, he told Mara. We have been betrayed. Somehow we must cancel the stand-down without alerting the traitors.
And hurry your people to that other city.
He nodded.
Berdorf, my forces are short-handed. How many Jedi have fighter ships in system?
Luke on the Shadow, shortly to be in an X-Wing, Anakin out on patrol, and herself.
Only three, she admitted. But Captain Solo has the Millennium Falcon planetside, and that's quite a ship.
Admiral Watt's eyes didn't brighten much.
Then at least we might delay them,
he murmured,
and evacuate a few more of your people. And mine.
Anakin watched his sensors with half his attention, listening to the Force with the other half. He knew where his mother was, and Jaina, and his aunt and uncle. The Yuuzhan Vong battle group seemed to have lost interest in stray ships patrolling inside the roiling fringe of Duro's atmosphere. His job was to watch for a second wave of attackers. He'd set his astromech, Fiver, to scan space. He'd picked up the early model R7 droid, most advanced of all the astromechs, on a hunch. R7 droids were notorious for working poorly with any fighter but an E-Wing, and it had taken Anakin 5 attempts and 2 weeks of tinkering. But now his backseater was as sleek and dependable as his uncle's R2, but fully armored and capable of multitasking at blinding speed. Anakin Solo would settle for nothing less. His present course kept Orom in view. The monstrous creature that coiled around it looked like a space slug, thick-hided for survival in vacuum, with a mouth easily 80 meters wide. A squadron of coral skippers escorted Orom as it drifted lower in orbit. Anakin doubted he could do anything to help anyone still inside that habitat. But if he could blast that creature off, he might keep it from feeding again. On Buru, or Rudabar, or any of the other orbital cities. On the tactical frequency, he could faintly hear transmissions between some officer on board the Mon Cal Poesy, on Duro's far side, and an E-Wing patrol. They sounded just as frustrated by Admiral Watt's stand-down as he was. They weren't Jedi. They had to follow orders. So did he, supposedly. But he was out here, and they weren't. He had the Force and 7 proton torpedoes. If he could neutralize the skip's Dovin Basals, he might be able to hit the monster. On his scanners, he spotted the wrecked hulk of that refugee hauler, dipping down into atmosphere. That gave him an idea. Gingerly, he pushed his throttle forward.
Fiver, give me a readout on that freighter's structural integrity.
Studying the visual display that appeared, he saw that the line of blast scars had elongated, leaving a slash along one side. barely big enough to fly inside.
Any life forms on board? Fiverr hesitated less than a second.
Negative. Anakin's hands tightened. That was terrible news. But it gave him an enormous bulk to work with, without fear of harming any living bystander.
How about its main reactor? Did it melt down yet?
Negative. Reactor live. Even better. Flying by scanner, and solo luck and instinct, he closed down his S-foils and maneuvered through the breach into a cavernous central hold. Something had detonated inside, melting through decks and bulkheads.
Fiver, set up a slingshot pass. I'm going to put our nose up against an inner bulkhead and try to steer this thing.
His droid pasted a string of question marks on the visual screen.
I want to pull G's around Duro and launch toward Orum.
More question marks.
Just do it, Anakin ordered.
Even an R7 could be incredibly dense sometimes. It took longer than he anticipated. First to calculate his course, then to pull down toward the roiling gas clouds and add every bit of acceleration Fiverr could coax out of the X-Wing's engines. He dialed his inertial compensator down to 95%, getting the best possible feel for his awkward hauler shell. His heads-up chrono finally started ticking off seconds. By this time, the freighter had picked up substantial momentum.
All right, he said. On my mark, decelerate.
The seconds melted down to zero.
Now,
he shouted. He slipped down into the Force, letting it guide his hands on the control yoke, his feet on the etheric rudder. The X-Wing's blunt aft end bumped only once as it slipped out the horrible tear in the freighter's side. Obviously, the freighter didn't have enough momentum to hit Orome in high geosync. Anakin had allowed for that. He armed one of his precious torpedoes, got a lock on the freighter's still-live reactor, and squeezed his right hand. The torpedo arced away. Anakin waited for exactly the right moment, then maxed his shields. Facing directly into the inferno, his canopy went black for an instant. The Force guided his hand on the yoke, jinking back and forth, avoiding debris even while he accelerated, chasing a wave of destruction toward the doomed habitat's coral skipper escorts. He charged them, still accelerating. Cued by the Force, he dumped a torpedo as his targeting reticle bracketed one skip, then a second. White-hot debris had overloaded their Dovin basal shields. Each of them exploded into thousands of coral shards. He caught a third skip with blasts from his lasers, a fourth with torpedoes. Time blurred, vision no longer registered. A toothy black maw opened in front of him, and a gullet big enough to drive a whole squadron of X-Wings inside. Anakin dumped one more proton torpedo, then snap-rolled away. He pushed his throttle forward and dived toward Duro. Two of the surviving coral skippers gave chase. On his aft screen, he saw one more explosion, and the monster's head vanished. The rest of it went limp, drifting off of Orome. Anakin smiled grimly. Now he only had to deal with two coral skippers. He'd done that before.